All right, I'll start reading here at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all of them now, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, here's my first statement. There are all kinds of forces assisting the Gentiles. It's my first statement. All kinds of forces assisting the Gentiles. Okay? Now, let's just look at two places for this. Let's go over to Exodus, in Exodus chapter 7. This is when God sent Moses down to Egypt to get the children of Israel set free. And Moses went and confronted Pharaoh. God says in verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. So he's going down there now. He's got to confront this man. And it says here in verse 7, and Moses was 80 years old. So he wasn't a spring chicken. 80 years old. That's 80 years old. And Aaron was 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. So somehow the scripture is bringing that out, so you'll know. And verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So right there, he is saying that when you confront the forces of darkness, you're going to have to do it with some power. I said, you're going to have to do it with some power. All right? Now, you know what happened? Let's just read it in verse 10. So Moses and Aaron went into the Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, and they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Okay? Now you know the revelation behind that. The revelation is that God told Moses, when the children of Israel were being bitten by snakes and dying, he said, now take a brass serpent, make a brass serpent, and put it on a pole. What symbol does that symbolize today? The medical profession. And he says, as many as would look on it will be healed. Okay? Now, When he was on that pole, it symbolizes the curse. Jesus was on the pole. And that this serpent, remember, was what Satan used in the garden to speak through to tempt Eve. You remember that, right? And God cursed that serpent. All right? Now, when that serpent that Aaron threw down swallowed up their serpents, it was saying that when Jesus was on that pole, he swallowed up all iniquity, swallowed up all the curse, and then went to hell, deposited it there, and was the first man born from death to life. Got born again. Now, in this, my point to you is all kinds of forces are assisting the Gentiles. That's what I want to show you. The system is rigged. Even you who have no discernment have to understand that Satan is working his sorcery to keep the money out of your hands. You got to understand that God can do something to get the money back in your hand. He can command the blessing upon you. Come on. You can sow, and when you do sow, no one, as Dr. Fred Price says, can abrogate it. In other words, once you do so, I don't care what the climate is and what Satan uses, he can't stop your harvest. That's why you can sow and reap. So, as we look at this, I want you to see that Pharaoh called his magicians and sorcerers and diviners, he called them. Now, he couldn't do this. He couldn't do this. This is not a grace that he has. He doesn't have that grace. But he had somebody in his government that was put there that Satan used to help keep the children of Israel in bondage. Now, let me show you another one. Coming over to Psalm chapter 73. I think half the battle can be won if we know who we're fighting. People busy thinking they're fighting the Republicans or the Democrats. Folks, that's for the world. Look what it says here. In Psalm chapter 73 and verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Check it out. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Glory to God. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Now let's take that part. Let's put it up there starting at verse 1. From the Message translation. Let's see if I get another degree of understanding with that. All right. No doubt about it. God is good and good to good people. Good to the good-hearted. But I nearly missed it. Missed seeing his goodness. I was looking the other way, looking up to the people. At the top, envying the wicked who have it made, who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole wide world. Pretentious with arrogance, they wear the latest fashions in violence. pampered and overfed, decked out with silk bows and silliness. They jeer using words to kill, and they bully their way with words. And they are full of hot air, loud mouths, disturbing the peace. Now that's going too far, okay. Let's go to the NIV, starting the NIV in the first verse, please. Okay? All right, starting back in the first verse. Okay, the NIV. A psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are of pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. And they are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Now you got to take the Bible at its word. Because Satan can direct sickness. Because he's enforcing the curse. And I'm telling you, folks, now y'all gonna stay with me here. There are all kinds of forces assisting the Gentiles to try to keep them in a way that they can hold the economics and the power of this world. And we have been sent here to disrupt that. Now, but you got to know how to do it, and you got to know how to stand. All right, well, I see you're not impressed. All right, let's go to 2 Kings and chapter 22. Let's try that. I think that's where it is. Maybe it's not. No, it's not. So let's go to Numbers. No. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. Yeah, that's good. Okay? No, that isn't good. Let's go to Numbers chapter 22. Lord have mercy. Are y'all getting hot? Okay, all right. Okay, I'm just trying to see if I overheat up here. No. I'm just saying we got to know what's going on in the atmosphere. Because I know. And I want you to know. Because when you know, you can wage a good warfare. Now, when I start talking like this, folks, I am not hating people. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not going to even stop there. Let's go to Psalm 82. Psalm 82 real quick. Okay. Y'all got to grow up, man. You know, when I start talking about you got authority in this earth, you got to not be insulted by that. You don't get insulted by it. Benefit by it. All right, look what he says here. Verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, Selah? How many of you know there are good people and wicked people? Yes. No. How many of you know there are good people and wicked people? Yes. All right, there are wicked people. Folks, there are wicked people, and it's not the people, it's the spirits that are enforcing their way and deceiving the people, and they think it's their own thoughts. Verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver them, the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in what? Darkness. The wicked are walking in what? Darkness. They don't know they're doing this. They think they're doing right, but they're not. If you got $70 billion, you could very easily stop some of the crime in these cities. The first thing you'd do is put up schools in there. Most of the people have no skills. Now, wait a minute. This is just me now. This is me, because I'm going to tap into something here. Yeah, first thing, you got to give them some knowledge so that their low esteem won't take them over and cause them to make wrong decisions. They don't have anybody at home with them. They weren't brought up with anybody. The mama was working or doing something, and the daddy wasn't there. And so what we have to do is say, okay, wait a minute, how are we going to do this? So in my opinion, this is what I do. I put up citadels. Citadels would be schools that are completely enclosed. They would have students to come in them, and when they come in them, the door is locked. The door is locked. And they'd be taught 6 days a week. And they'd have chores, they'd have everything. They had sleeping quarters in there. Come on, they had the best foods in there. They'd have, come on, some games and so forth and so on. And I'd put those things up and I'd make them forts. I'd put them up in different areas of the community. I'd put them up there. Watch this. And charge nothing for the students going to school. Not a dime. Not a dime. Every one of them would be in boarding school. And they'd be in that boarding. They'd be come up. They'd come out for Easter, come out for this. They'd take trips to the different places and so forth like that. I'm just saying, if you had $70 billion, but the forces won't let them do that. And I'm telling you, when the saints start praying and then the money starts shifting, then we could do something, because if as long as the money is in the wrong hands, morality will be going down. Because Satan's got to put it down to his level. Is this all right if I preach this? See, I'm trying to make the gospel relevant. We come in here and shout, woo, and all of that. But what about the people? Now, how does this apply to them? How does this Bible apply to all those people out there that are going to jail every day? I don't know whether you've ever sit in a courtroom recently. You look at the courtroom sitting there. It is a sad shame that you call, that the judge called the next case. Here he is coming up there, his pants way down on his knees, and his mama's trying to get him to straighten up, and the judge is pronouncing sentence on him. It is a shame. Folks, that thing, if it doesn't bother you, something's wrong with you. And it's loaded with them, and they're all poor. Telling you, folks, poverty is a spirit that tries to destroy people's lives. Are y'all with me? They walk on in darkness. Now, I'm telling you now, this is a piece, and I want to make this thing. I said, I need to make this gospel relevant. I need to bring this thing in. So there are forces, unseen forces, that are controlling the things in the world. Let's go to another. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Oh, yeah, we're going after them. Because that's our job. Our job is to set the captives what? Free. And half of them don't even know they're captives. Boy, this is good preaching. I don't care what you say. All right, this is a case, and you've seen it before, and this is when, glory to God. Boy, can I get a few minutes, and you let me do what I want to do? Okay. All right, let me just, Mark chapter 4. So, this is discernment. Because I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about, what did I name this particular series? Just releasing the power. So I'm going somewhere now with that. But I got to lay the groundwork, let you see what I see. Now, this is starting at Mark 4, verse 35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what?
Faith.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now check it out. Did Jesus rebuke the storm?
Yes.
So the storm must not have been from God. I'm going to try that again. Did Jesus rebuke the storm?
Yes.
So the storm could not have been from his Father. He was not testing him. That was the devil trying to kill him. Are y'all still with me? Look at the next verse. That is chapter 5 and starting at verse 1. And he said, and he came over to the other side of the sea unto the country of the Gadarenes, where he was come out of the ship. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, but that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and did what to him? Worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Now I went over that Sunday. So what was he doing? Was he advertising for Jesus? No. He was telling Jesus, you can't touch me. You cannot touch me. I know who you are. You are God. Now, was he God? Yep. But what did he do with his Godhead ability? Set it aside. He set it aside so much until he grew in wisdom. Now, how is God going to grow in wisdom? He grew in wisdom because everything he did in this earth had to be like a man. Got it? Because he came as the last Adam to demonstrate to you how you should act. He stopped storms. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, what I'm getting to you is interesting how this strong man was over there. Because Satan cannot affect one inch of this planet without a man. Just like God can. Mm-mm. He doesn't have that. His power, he is nowhere close to this man. This man was made like God.
Amen.
Satan is lower than him. He was lower than him in the beginning. This man is powerful. That's why a man without God can build a big city. You see, Yonggi Cho, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, has a book called The Fourth Dimension. And he talks about how to reach into the fourth dimension and get the vision of God and superimpose it over the earth.
Yes.
By faith. Well, people who don't have God get to superimpose the vision of the devil.
Right.
And use that same force to try to do it. And that's why they can work sorcery. And they can duplicate what looks like they're doing it supernaturally.
Yes.
But it's called sorcery. Are y'all here?
Yes.
So I want to say your Bible, but your truth has to come from the Word of God.
Yes.
All sickness is spiritual. All victory in the kingdom is spiritual. Boy, y'all better come on with me now. See, the man who has God is much more powerful than a man who doesn't have God. Are y'all with me here? And so we have to learn now how to flow with God. Other than that, we're still trying to do it ourselves. And you can't whip the devil on you with your own self. He's too deceptive and he's too smart for that. So this channel was used just like in Numbers chapter 22. Balak tried to use Balaam, said, come and curse Israel for me. What is he going to do? Work sorcery on him. What do you think kept Jacob there so long? Once Jacob finally left, notice one of his wives grabbed some of the what? Some of those idol gods, see, because Laban was working witchcraft. But the Bible says in Numbers 23, witchcraft won't work on you.
Amen.
It won't work on you, see? Because you're walking by what? Faith and not by sight. Now, we've skirted around the edges long enough. I'm about to get down into this thing. Because we got to get some victories here. We got to. You know, he had to get Gideon down to how many people? 300 people. Am I right about it? Gideon had thousands. Sometimes it doesn't take thousands. Just give me a few saints that sold out. I said sold out saints. Folks, you can take them and you can control even the economies. Anything Satan set up. You can break it up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. So I just went through the Bible and saw how many times the spiritual forces were affecting people's lives. And they didn't know it. The Bible says Eve was what? She deceived. She didn't know it. The devil used a serpent and talked through it. That tells me that a serpent had different properties than I see in the day. When God cursed me, he said, on your belly you're going to crawl. So to tell me that he wasn't on his belly before. Let's look at another. Let's look how subtle that enemy is, okay? Let's go and look at Matthew's gospel in chapter 16. How we doing, folks? They don't know what they're doing now, so don't get mad at folk. They are not your enemies. You're going to save folk, but you're going to get the devil out from his... Or look what he says And this is Jesus when he asked them, whom do men say that I am? And they start guessing and carrying on. All right? So he said, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's one of the few times he said who he really was. Now, if you go on down to verse 21, from that time forth, began Jesus to show him, his disciples, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again from the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from me, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. You don't have to go there. You don't even have to go there. Don't believe that. And verse 23, but Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, who? I thought Peter said that. Peter said what the devil said. And I'm telling you, folks, in the church sometimes say what the devil said. And the reason why is because they have not understood that there are forces of darkness that are trying to use people to bring down the church, especially a church that's moving forward and winning souls, trying to bring it down, trying to get you to talk about the pastor, trying to get you to say, oh, they talk about money too. Whatever you can do to try to bring the thing down. But I'm like David. I found out that if you're going to go in there and fight the giants, you're going to have Galatians chapter 5. Turn to it. In Galatians chapter 5, he says this, starting here at verse, oh, glory to God. Starting at verse, where am I? Okay, I got it. Starting at verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Come on, help me. Adultery, come on. Fornication, come on. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and gossiping, and speaking against the pastor. And come on now. Yeah, the enemy uses them. Because he's using that flesh. Look at the next verse. But, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, come on. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such, there is no law. So I just found that if you're going in there, Satan seemingly always can get somebody to try to get you riled up and try to, am I right about it? But you're going to have to walk in peace. Come on, you're going to have to stay in love. You're going to have to be long-suffering. And I found out that when you're really about to take your land, that's when the enemy really comes. Come on. He started trying to push that hot button that you've been subject to for so many years. He's been trying to push that, but you're going to have to recognize him and say, wait a minute, I missed my blessing before when I went off on this sister. I'm not going to go off on her this time. This time, I'm going to let the Lord fight my battles. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say amen to that. I am convinced when Job got through his worst trial here, and here the devil spoke to his wife, said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, you're talking like a foolish woman, and kept on going. And he said in Job 13, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. He said, I don't know how the devil is getting into my life, but I'm telling you this, if I hold fast the confession of my faith, if I don't go off on these brothers that trying to talk me down, if I don't get in this argument with my wife that's trying to wrap me up, I'm telling you, God's going to bring me through. And he brought him through because there was a devil that was coming after Job, because Job was climbing up every step of the ladder. And I'm telling you right now, God's about to raise you up. But another level, another devil. But if you just stand when you've done all that you can do, just say anything. Just stand and watch God deliver you. I'm telling you, money is coming your way. Healing is coming your way. Joy. Oh, it looks bad right now, and you don't know how the devil did this. But if you just stand, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now give God praise, because it's standing time. Sit down. Glory to God. Now, let me cover one more thing and we go. My Lord, that came from the Holy Ghost. Come on, the Holy Ghost. Remember what we said about that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to God, but God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. And he's faithful. He will not let you suffer beyond what you're able. But will with the suffering or the temptation, he gonna make a way to escape. But see, you gotta stay in faith. You can't let this devil talk you into getting angry and so forth. Folks, I see now the further into Canaan we go and taking back our goods, the more we gonna have to have the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in our lives. All right. Let me see. I had one more thing I want to show you. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. No. Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, let's go to Matthew in chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Well, that came from the Holy Ghost there. I said that came from the Holy Ghost. Now, Matthew 3, and I'll start reading here at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Now, locust is a type of vegetable. Then went out him to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. So the people are coming out there. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. His brother was a powerful man. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. All right, we'll stop right there. Okay, now what is he saying? He started off by saying, repent. Repent. Now, repent involves a change of heart. It is not to be confused with remorse. It is not to be confused with reformation All of these deal with the surface. But repent goes deep. And it deals with the heart. And the heart, as you have been taught, is the soil. So for God to plant seed in your soil, it needs to be cleansed. And repentance cleanses your soil. He said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. What does that mean? Let your tree show some evidence of an inner change. And what I think sometimes happens in people's lives is that one man said it's where the church fathers went off. Because they forgot the clear relationship between repentance and faith regarding baptism. And they began to think of baptism is in some magical term that if I get baptized, the water itself can make a Christian out of somebody. No. If you haven't repented, you will go down a sinner and come up one. This idea about just getting in the water is where they begin to go off and baptize all different ways. Well, I can baptize a baby. Well, can a baby repent? Well, how are you going to get one saved? Stay with me. Well, y'all not getting scared, are you, or anything? So many unscriptural ideas now were introduced as a result of that, and it was all the devil's work. Because I know what we would do. Now this is going to come back to this church, because this is the way it used to be. I happened to talk to Pastor Carl Ross the other night, and I said, he began to tell me, he said, Pastor, you remember when we had baptism? I said, I remember it. We didn't have a fancy pool. We just had a cow's feeding trough and filled it up and baptized people in it. And he said, do you remember people would come up speaking in tongues? He said, do you remember cocaine addicts would come up totally free? Do you remember people who were sick would come up healed? I said, I remember that. And I'm telling you what has happened is that somehow something has crept in, and we're going to creep it right back on out of here. Now, listen, I'm not saying anything about people's lives because you can confess Christ and so forth, but the whole idea about it is that you repent, confess Christ, get water baptized, watch this, and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why filled with the Holy Spirit? Because once you get emptied out, you need to be filled up. Now, this is anybody's life. This is a church. I'm only saying that the church itself has been talked out of these things, and now you have no power in the church. It's kept in cities, and it's just a shame what's going on in the cities. Well, it's happening because the church has strayed away from the doctrine that Christ taught in this book. Say amen to this. And so what we have to do is come back to the book. I'm not trying to down anybody in this. I'm just saying that the Bible requires us that we believe, and they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Now, I'm not saying people, if they've confessed Christ, here's what the one of the men said in Paul's time. He said, well, what keeps me from being baptized right now? And Paul said nothing, praise God, and took him and baptized. I remember even when we were starting our church in Minnesota, and we were having a Bible study, and I was teaching on the first, you know, principles of the scriptures. As I was teaching on them, I'm telling you, next thing I know, it's one of the sisters said, I want to be baptized. I said, okay, well, let's take some names of those who would like to be baptized. She said, no, I want to be baptized right now. I said, well, I'm in an apartment building. What do you mean? She said, well, you got a pool downstairs. I saw it when I came in here. I said, well, that's these people's pool. I don't know whose pool this is. You follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to get around my duty here. You follow what I'm saying? But she's putting it on me now. She's pulling me all the way in. And I said, well, first of all, you don't have anything to be bad. She said, no, I brought my bathing suit. Dog, I can't even get out of this. Well, I mess around there. I said, okay, well, let's go on down there. So I got my bathing suit on, went on down there. I'm kind of, tell you the truth, I'm kind of shamefaced, you know, when I'm going down there. All the people swimming and, you know, and everything. And then here comes some saints. You know how saints look. They look like saints, hey? And I took it there. And now, you know, boom, took her down. Power of God hit that lady. She's been on fire ever since. That's been how many years ago? 25, 28 years ago. I'm telling you right now, when they do repent, and they have no problem with that water, that is evidence that a change just took place. And when they have no problem with that, what happens is they got no mixture then. But see, when you have mixture, then that mixture will make you want to do something and don't want to do some other thing. But when you truly repented and said, Lord, listen, whatever you want from my life, here I am. Take me like I am, and you take them people, baptize them, fill them with the Holy Ghost. They will have so much power running through their lives until it's something else. Give God praise. That's all I'm going to have for today. We're going to start that tomorrow, next time. Say amen. Put up Acts 2:38 in there. And this is what we use. And we use it because the scriptures use it. It says this in Acts 2:38, if I can get the person to put it up. And Peter said to them, repent. That's the first thing you do. It's repent. Repent means a change of heart. It doesn't mean to feel bad one minute and then get out of here and do the same thing. When your heart has truly repented, you can't stand to do the same thing. And he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission of your sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, why do you need the Holy Ghost? Because once you get born again, the Holy Ghost does a work within you. So you now got the Holy Ghost in you. But that is the Spirit of God that comes to live with you. But that's not the baptism. The baptism means to immerse. It's baptizo in the Latin. It means to immerse. And once you immerse with it, it's going to affect your spirit, your body, and your soul. That's what it affects. You'll think different, come on, and you'll see your body will have the power that if you lay hands on the sick, watch this, it says it's like a river coming up out of you, and the power of God will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Say amen. Give God praise, because this is time for we're about to go somewhere now, saints of God. God told me, he said, go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. They kind of forgot the basics. And so we're going back to the basics here in the spiritual warfare. But we're about to knock the devil in the head. We're about to come up. All that poverty, we're going to knock it in the head. All that violence, we're going to... I'm telling you, if you got three or four people praying right, you can stop the atmosphere from putting all that stuff in people's lives. I'm talking to this guy, and he said, in another state where we went, and he's driving us, and he said, yeah, you know, and I got born again, and you know, daddy brought me into the kingdom and so forth. He said, now, this is a funny thing. Now, I was a rapper before I got saved, but then I got saved, and my rhymes won't come no more. I said, I know it, because it wasn't God's rhymes. It was some rhymes you got from somewhere else. Say amen to that. Give God praise for his word. Yeah, the enemy trying to take us off course. And like the book said, I read the church fathers have kind of relaxed on some things and so forth. But all of those things we need if we want to have the power in the church that is to be there. When you got a mixture inside of you, you remember what Jesus said? He said it over in Luke chapter 7, I think. He gave Peter a short teaching. He said that one person had great sin and they got saved, and the other person had little sin and they got saved. He said, which one do you think loved God the most? The one that got saved from great sin. And it's amazing, you bring some people off of cocaine or bring some people off of that kind of lifestyle, man, they show up at church every time you open the door, they're right here. But people who love him little, you call a meeting and they might not be here. And I'm just saying, start loving God again. Start loving him for who he is. Say amen to that. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. I want to get you in the kingdom of God. So it doesn't make any difference who you are, where you come from, what your background is. Understand this. God is the one who wants you back with him.